If you do not smoke, and the majority of us don't, e-cigarettes may have taken a while to penetrate your awareness. They look like cigarettes. They don't work quite the same way, though. There is nicotine, but no actual tobacco. There is combustion, but it produces vapor instead of smoke. And the regulatory authorities from the Food and Drug Administration on down are trying to catch up to e-cigarettes. The Oregon legislature is considering some possible state laws in the current short legislative session. State Representative Phil Barnhart is a Democrat from Eugene and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange and one of the movers and shakers on this issue. Representative Barnhart, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Jeffrey.
So just from your own personal perspective, did e-cigarettes sneak up on you?
Yes, absolutely. I was sitting in an airport in Eugene late last fall, and suddenly a man sat down next to me, and very shortly a stream of odd-looking vapor, smoke, whatever, came out of his mouth. It took me a minute to realize that he was using one of these newfangled e-cigarettes. And I found myself appalled and resenting the idea that he could use that device in a waiting room where people were waiting for an airplane and they had to be there. There was no other place to go. And there were pregnant women and children and people like me who don't smoke in that room as well. So at that point, I decided we needed to work on regulating e-cigarettes so that that kind of thing wouldn't happen in the future. As I looked into it further, I realized that these devices were also available for sale to minors who could use this as a method of getting around our restrictions on tobacco smoking and begin the process of addicting themselves to nicotine, which, of course, is a very powerful drug, probably the most addicting drug in the pantheon of drugs. And one that is hugely dangerous to people who use it and others. My bill that I brought in the legislature this time would have restricted sales to minors, would have prevented sales to minors, and would have restricted the use of e-cigarettes to places that were not in no smoking areas.
All right, and you said would have. Is this all past tense now?
Yes, it is. The bills had to come out of the committees by a certain date. Neither my bill nor the other bill that would have simply restricted sales to minors came out of committee. We're setting up a work group to consider changes in this area of the law for the long session in 2015.
Really? So and this is the short session of the legislature, even-numbered years, short session, odd-numbered
right.
years, long session. So nothing going to emerge from this session, then, on e-cigarettes, you're saying?
That's correct, yes. And it's very disappointing that that's the case. The law, of course, and I think this is true in most places, never contemplated the idea of these e-cigarettes. We were concerned about tobacco. We've worked very hard over the years to get tobacco laws in place that restrict sales to minors, that provide clean areas for the public. Any place where people congregate in public in Oregon, it's not allowed to smoke now indoors. And it feels like a major step backwards to me that we haven't extended the law to include these new devices.
So what went wrong in this session of the legislature, Representative Barnhart, that you weren't able to get it out of committee on time?
I think the major problems are in two areas. The first one is that the large tobacco companies have recently bought the two largest of the vaping companies, the ones making and selling e-cigarettes and the materials that go in them. And so Big Tobacco is using its influence to try to slow down and reduce the impact on vaping in the legislature. You know, Big Tobacco's business plan has to include addicting a certain number of youngsters to tobacco or other nicotine products like e-cigarettes, because if they don't get them started young, they never will. We know that nicotine addiction almost never starts after somebody is more than 20, 21, 22 years of age. So they have to get a certain number of kids started in the 8th grade and the 11th grade, the years we measure now of tobacco use. And now we're starting to measure e-cigarette use as well. So because they bought these companies, this part of their business plan is going to include selling e-cigarettes with nicotine in it. They are moving toward, in my opinion, in my view, moving toward moving their plan from trying to addict young people to tobacco products and instead moving them to these new devices, including nicotine in them.
State Representative Phil Barnhart is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about proposed regulations for e-cigarettes, which, as you just heard, will not be emerging from this session of the Oregon Legislature. We can take in your thoughts on e-cigarettes via email. The address is jx@jeffnet.org. Apologies about the phones. With only one of us here, we can't do the screening and be able to get the calls on the air in a quality way. So, Representative Barnhart, you are not just a casual observer here. You're a psychologist, and you serve on the board of an addiction treatment company. So your claim about the nicotine addiction being the strongest one is based on some evidence, I'm thinking.
Yes, it absolutely is. And, of course, Oregon spends about $2 billion a year on health care costs and lost productivity that's directly related to nicotine addiction. We spend, we have about 6,000, more than 6,000 deaths every year that's directly attributable to tobacco. Now, tobacco, of course, contains a number of other things that are bad for you in addition to nicotine. So the argument, one of the arguments made by the people who were opposed to my bill is that that vaping is healthier than nicotine, than using tobacco products. For some people who are already addicted, that may very well be true. But more healthy doesn't mean healthy. It just means less dangerous. So preventing them from using these devices in public places where other people who are not addicted are exposed is not a good idea.
It doesn't seem to be a great amount of research out there thus far on the effects of the e-cigarettes, either on the users or on people who are nearby. And your first exposure, obviously, was as a can't call it secondhand smoke, secondhand vape or something in that, that airport waiting room.
Yeah,
do we know much at all at this point about the secondhand vapor effects?
We know what the effect of nicotine is on the body. There have been a lot of research on that. We also, but you're right, these devices are new enough that the long-term longitudinal research that needs to be done hasn't yet been done. Can't be, because it takes years to actually get the results. What we do know is that the tobacco companies have always lowballed the effects of tobacco on the human body, and until a few years ago, they were even claiming to Congress that tobacco wasn't addicting. Of course, they had to backpedal on that, and so I don't trust any of the new research that is actually sponsored through the tobacco companies. They've proven pretty well that they're not to be relied upon. The research we do have, conducted by at the University of California in San Francisco, suggests that these devices include benzene, cadmium, cadmium isoprene, lead, nickel, formaldehyde, acetaldehyde, toluene, and are present in many brands of these e-cigarettes. So there's a lot of other chemicals besides nicotine in them. Now, some of them may have one or another of mix of these chemicals, but the result is we're talking about things. We know nicotine is dangerous, and we know some of these other chemicals are dangerous. So why take the risk? And why would you expose people who didn't volunteer to be exposed? People sitting in airports, people in restaurants, people in the class at the community college, and so forth.
You know, it's an interesting proposition to watch happen out in the marketplace, though, because I stop at, to be honest, I stop at the same convenience store just about every day on my way home for lunch and notice the array of e-cigarettes out there and asked the store manager not long ago about whether those can be sold to kids. He said, well, no, they can't. Well, the fact is that the law doesn't specify that. Individual stores can, though. I mean, is this what you learned through testimony on these bills, is that there are at least some voluntary restrictions?
Yes. Yes. The vape shops in Oregon, the ones that came to testify at least, all say that they don't sell to minors. But the reality, of course, is that any vape shop that wanted to could do that. There's no restriction on it at all in Oregon. And certainly some of them, probably not the ones that came to testify here, will do so, either because it's okay, they think it's okay, or because financial exigencies lead them to think that gee, if I do this, maybe I can stay in business for a while longer if their business is not doing well. So, but there are no restrictions, so there's no way to enforce that kind of rule except the ethics of the shop owner.
All right, that addresses the sale, but now the use. And again, your first exposure was in an airport waiting area. Are there some voluntary restrictions on the use? I mean, are you aware of businesses or public areas saying, you know, no cigarettes also means no e-cigarettes?
You know, that's a very complex area because the Business Owners and Managers Association in Oregon came to us to support our bill. And the reason that they did is because their lease agreements include tobacco products as a non-use, or, you know, at least smoking tobacco products as non-use in their leases in buildings that include a number of different businesses. But there's nothing about e-cigarettes in most of them because they're new enough that they're not there. So from a management point of view of these public places, it becomes a nightmare when you're trying to get a whole bunch of different businesses in the same building to adhere to and to agree to a restriction like this. They would have preferred to have this bill because then they could have simply said, well, you can't smoke here, and you also can't use e-cigarettes because the state law says that.
You've been quoted, Representative Barnhart, as calling e-cigarettes beguiling devices for kids. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's a number of different flavors. One of the vape stores testified that they had 300 different flavors that they used, and flavors like bubble gum and various candy flavors and various fruit flavors that they add to these the solutions that are put in these e-cigarettes. And of course, the devices that most of these companies use don't look like cigarettes, but rather they're little devices with batteries in one end, a heating element, and a way of sucking the vapor that comes off of the heating element into the mouth and then into the lungs. So it's simply a matter of what you mix in a little solution that you put in a little bottle with an eyedropper that then is used to add the material to the heating element. So it's very easy to mix this stuff up. It's very easy to make different flavors. It's very easy to make flavors that would be attractive to kids and to other people, and to vary the amount of nicotine in the material. Some people are actually even mixing this stuff up in their basements and selling it. There's no quality control. If you buy something like this, unless you buy it from somebody you're absolutely certain of, you don't know what's in it. So there's a whole bunch of reasons for better regulation of these devices and the material you put in them than we have now. Of course, my bill only covered those two areas that I talked about,
which is sales to minors and public areas.
Correct.
With the lack of anything emerging from the Oregon legislature, then, can you look outside, upward? And I mean, is the federal government doing anything at this point? It sounds like the Food and Drug Administration is already under some constraints about what it can do about e-cigarettes.
I am less familiar with the restraints the Food and Drug Administration faces, but they are considering restrictions on e-cigarettes, treating them more like tobacco. And at that point, they can impose labeling laws or labeling rules. They can require warnings on the labels, and a variety of other things that at the present time don't exist. But they're not in a position. The state law is the one that has to determine whether public places are out of bounds and that sort of thing.
We have an email here from Randy and Roosh, who writes, "Very sad that we as a culture can't figure out a way to get this scourge out of our culture. I'm completely appalled," which it sounds like similar to the reaction you had when you first found out about e-cigarettes.
Well, yes. The technology's gotten ahead of us, and when there's money to be made, people will figure out a way to make it. The business model that requires people to be addicted to a substance is very pernicious and extremely dangerous, and not something we ought to condone in our society. Actually, getting kids not to start using these products is difficult. I mean, just simply outlawing the sale to minors doesn't do it. We need the other piece of my bill. We need to do other things like better education programs and a variety of other ways to discourage kids from starting to use, so that eventually we run out of addicts and the tobacco companies lose their power because they lose their income. It's going to take a while to do it. It's an ongoing battle, And I'm really pleased to have your writer on my side on this issue. I think it's very important, and I think those of us who don't use, in fact, many people who do use and who are addicted to nicotine agree with me about this firsthand. They know how hard it is to quit and how difficult it is and how dangerous it is for them to keep using these products.
And you were saying if addiction doesn't set in young, it generally doesn't set in?
That's right. Yeah, one of the, I mean, as a psychologist, that's something I can tell you, but it's also been proven out in many, many research projects. The reality is that 90-plus percent of the people who become addicted to nicotine and cigarettes, tobacco products, have that happen before age 23.
All right.
And most of them, I mean, if you talk to heavy smokers, most of them will tell you, I started at age 15, I started at 13, I started at 17, and most of them regret it.
All right, Representative Phil Barnhart of Eugene, our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange, talking about the proposals to regulate e-cigarettes from the Oregon legislature, which will not emerge from this session, so no regulations coming out of this session. Representative Barnhart, thanks so much for your time today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much.